Father, we can try so hard to be in control of our lives, but then something happens, and we realize that we are not. It can even be like Babylonians have invaded our lives, and we've been taken captive by one thing or another. So what do we do? That may be why you've called us to study the book of Daniel. Lord, this year, would you disclose to us through your word and your spirit what we do in the times of life when we feel overwhelmed, like we have been taken captive and are living in a foreign land. Bless us and encourage us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is lesson one in the book of Daniel. It is called God is in Control. We have three divisions. Our first division says Daniel tells us to live an uncompromising life. In our second division, we will see that Daniel shows us life's real purposes. And in our third division, Daniel shows us the results of corruption. It is said that every person has a price, and your price is whatever causes you to sell out. It causes you to sell out your convictions and your moral standards for some personal gain or a personal desire. This is true of the world, we know that, but it should not be true of God's people. So Daniel shows us how to live. Daniel shows us how to live an uncompromising life in a very compromising world. In our first division, Daniel tells us to live an uncompromising life. Daniel confronts compromise. Now, some people pay the price to stand their ground and do not compromise, no matter what the cost. Other people boast about their moral standards or the strength of their character or their firmly held convictions. But for some reason, they sell out. So what is this thing that we call compromise? We live in a compromising world. It's all around us. Some people say they believe the Bible, but they stay in churches where it's not taught. Other people claim to be convicted about sin until that sin is committed by their children. People say they must expose corruption until they might lose their job or relationships. Have you noticed that people rationalize compromises in their lives and become very good at it? People are honest until a little dishonesty might save them some money or gain them an advantage. People can know something is wrong, but for the sake of peace, cover it up. People will act against their convictions if asked to do so by somebody they admire or somebody they fear. Now, people do not say what should be said if they might lose face or they might lose friends. And so goes the compromise in our lives. Now, many people have compromised. The Bible is just full of this. Adam compromised God's law. He followed his wife's sin and he lost paradise. Abraham compromised the truth. He lied about Sarah and nearly lost his wife. Sarah compromised God's word. She sent Abraham to Hagar, who bore Ishmael, and lost peace in the Middle East forever, ever since. Now, Esau compromised for a meal. He ate Jacob's lunch, but lost his birthright. Saul compromised God's word. He kept the captured animals, but lost the royal seed. Aaron compromised about adultery. He allowed the people to make a golden calf, but he lost the promised land. Samson compromised with Delilah. He lost his strength, his eyes, and eventually he lost his life. Israel compromised God's commands. They lived in sin. They fought the Philistines, and then they lost God's favor. David compromised with Bathsheba. He murdered Uriah, lost his child because of it. Solomon compromised his convictions. He married foreign wives and lost the whole kingdom. Israel repeatedly compromised God's law over and over. They entered into sin and idolatry repeatedly, and eventually lost their homeland, the Promised Land. So that brings us to the time of Daniel. Daniel had many reasons to compromise. Daniel was just a teenager when Babylon invaded Jerusalem. Daniel was taken captive, and he was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon, more than 500 miles away. That's a long walk when you're a teenager. Suddenly, everything changed. Now, Daniel was removed from everything familiar in his life. How many of us can say that? He was removed from family and friends. He was removed from his culture and his way of worship. But Daniel was not removed from God, and God was not removed from him. And Daniel had many reasons to compromise. This amazing young man could have compromised so easily. So how did Daniel live an uncompromising life? Daniel believed in absolutes. Now, he believed the law of God, and that is what anchored him. That was Daniel's rock of confidence. Now, even in the storms of a pagan culture, he believed in God and God's word. Even during lifelong foreign captivity, that was his rock. That's what he held on to. Even in endless efforts to brainwash him, Daniel had something that he could hold on to. Now, Daniel did face hostility in his life. The Babylonian culture did not honor God, and they did not really care about people either. But Daniel's relationship with God deepened and continued to grow. God never failed Daniel. And Daniel never failed God. As we look into the book of Daniel, I think that you'll see that. Our first principle then is God wants us to resist the shifting sands of culture and fix ourselves to God's unchanging word. Moses stood before Pharaoh and did not compromise. Paul appeared before Felix, Festus, and Agrippa and did not compromise. Daniel served Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Belshazzar, and Cyrus and did not compromise. Kings have come and gone, and they're no longer remembered. But people who did not compromise are not forgotten. They live on in our minds. They live on in God's word, and we're going to find out about that as we study this book. So where do you stand on compromise? Do you stand your ground? Or do you sometimes compromise? If that's the case, Daniel will challenge you in your life. Do you speak when something is wrong? Or are you tempted to take cover? Daniel will challenge you. Will you remember God's word and then act on it, no matter what happens in your life? That's the message of Daniel. That's what he did. In our second division, Daniel shows us life's real purposes. Now, Daniel has two parts. The first half tells us about Babylon. We will see the lives of Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We will learn about the threats they faced and how God rescued them time and time again. From pagan rulers and a fiery furnace and a den of lions. In the second half, we will see Daniel's prophecies. You know, Daniel had a series of visions, and he also interpreted dreams because God allowed him to do that. God showed Daniel future events and even a glimpse of Jesus' return. Daniel did not understand what these visions meant. So in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, he said, "I heard, but I did not understand." In other words, God has revealed some mysteries while keeping others veiled. And we'll take a look at that this year. Daniel's book has four main purposes. First, Daniel tells us about true dedication to God. Daniel is committed to God, and nothing changes that. He's never a victim. Despite his circumstances, he never bails out, no matter how tough it gets. He makes a commitment, and he holds on to that commitment. You cannot believe what happens to Daniel as you read through this book. You just won't believe it. And these things happen to Daniel because he is committed to God, but God rescues him time and time again. Second, Daniel tells us about God's care for Israel. Israel went into captivity, but God did not turn his back on them. God picked Daniel. He chose him. And Daniel was Israel's man at that time in Babylon. In Babylon's seat of power, Daniel defended his people because God cared for them, even in punishment. And third, Daniel has a message of comfort. I hope you'll see that as we look into this book. Now, the nation of Israel and its people were being punished in a pagan land. And they could have forgot that God cared about them. They could have been bitter and resentful because of that punishment. But God continued to give them hope, and Daniel reminded them that God cared for them. We need people in our lives to do that, don't you? I do. They were captives in a foreign land, and they lost their national identity. You know, our problems can make us lose our identity sometimes. We get so consumed in them. But God still loved them and still cared for them. You know, God only allowed 70 years of captivity, and then God took them back. Fourth, Daniel tells us how the world is going to end. Daniel gives hope for believers in a hostile world, and that is where we live. And he tells us how the world is going to end. We're going to see some of the eternal secrets of the future, and we're going to learn how to live right life right now. We're going to see both of those things at the same time, and we're going to see how marvelously those two things work together in God's plan as he unfolds his words. And our second principle, then, God is in control of heaven and earth, directing the forces of nature, the destiny of nations, and the care of his people. God is in control. They are opposites. Judah has Jerusalem, and that is the city of God. But Babylon had the Tower of Babel, and that is where all false religion began. That's about as opposite as you can get. You know, one is blessed with God's promises, and the other is cursed with idolatry. So what do they have in common, these two places that are at odds? Well, God is in control in both places. And he will care for his people in both places, no matter where you find yourself. And God, in his control, will overcome evil. So what's your choice? Do you let God rule in all of your circumstances, or are you still trying to override him? Will you let Daniel's life change yours? Will you be open to that? In our third division, Daniel shows us the results of corruption. God warned his people repeatedly. The prophets warned the rulers of Judah about worshiping false gods and about open idolatry. They warned about loving material things and mistreating the poor. They warned them over and over. In Isaiah 39, verse 6, the prophet said, "The time will surely come when everything in your palace will be carried away to Babylon. Nothing will be left." And then in verse 7, he added, "And some of your descendants will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." You know, a threat of castration will usually cause the toughest guy in the room to listen. Do you think of that? But the people of Judah refused to repent. They just refused. So God punished Judah. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it." He totally destroyed it. At first, Daniel was taken to Babylon with a few other exiles. And then about 8 years later, more Jews were taken. And then finally, 10 years later, the city completely fell. At that time, the army burned the temple, tore down the city walls, and killed the remaining people or deported them. The city was ruined, and God's people were defeated. But why did God allow such utter destruction? Why did he do that? God is just. God would rather have his people living in shameful captivity in a pagan land than living like pagans in the promised land and disgracing his name. God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a victory. Daniel chapter 1 verse 2 says, "And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand." Nebuchadnezzar burned the temple, and he even took the sacred furnishings of the temple, things that were holy to God and honored God. Nebuchadnezzar took them to the temple, to his god in Babylon, and so did the pagan gods defeat the true God of Israel? Is that what happened here? You know, it looked like a victory for the idols, but it was actually a victory for the Lord. You know, God kept his covenant with Israel here, and he fulfilled his promises to them. So how did God keep his word in these kinds of devastating circumstances? You know, God had earlier made a covenant with Israel. God promised that he would care for them and bless them if they obeyed his laws. But if they disobeyed, he said that he would punish them and that he would scatter them among the Gentiles. You see, God wanted Israel to be a light to the Gentiles and to reveal the glories of a true and a living God. But instead, the Jews became like the Gentiles. You couldn't tell them apart. They were not a light to anyone. Israel rejected God. That's what happened. The nation had ungodly kings and unfaithful priests. They listened to false prophets and they worshiped false gods. Israel was destroyed by moral decay from within, even before Babylon carried them away. God's own people did not obey him, but Nebuchadnezzar and the pagan army did obey him. Isn't that ironic? So what happened here? How could that happen? God's people did not listen or obey, but a pagan king and his army did. The answer is God is in control. God permits people to make personal choices and still accomplish his purposes, no matter what they decide, because God is in control. When God's word is ignored, God will overrule to accomplish his will and to reach his purposes. John put it this way in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, "Our Lord God Almighty reigns. He reigns in every circumstance, whether we're obedient or whether we're disobedient. Our Lord God Almighty reigns." The third principle then is the cycle of corruption buries nation after nation. But God's correction can restore God's people. It's inevitable. The cycle of corruption does bury nations. It buries nation after nation. Look at our history. New ones rise from the rubble and then become rubble for the next. But one nation broke the cycle. Only one. Israel had God's promise, so Israel rose from its own ashes. You know, Daniel saw Israel fall early in his life and then helped Israel rise again because that was God's purpose for Daniel. This is Daniel's story. This is what we'll learn about. So what is your story? Do you hear God's warnings in your life? Or do you continue to suffer your own actions? If so, the book of Daniel is for you. Do you let God correct you, or do you repeat the same cycle over and over and over? If so, God has called you to learn the book of Daniel and me. Do you hear Daniel's warnings? Will you hear them as we study this book, so that you can rise from the ashes? That's what God intends you to do. Daniel could have despaired. Judah was conquered and thousands were deported. Daniel was in a foreign land, and he was facing a powerful king and a pagan culture. But Daniel did not give in and he did not give up. So we will study the book of Daniel together. With God's help, we will learn together how to live our life in faith, even when the going gets tough. Lord, we thank you for this message. Help us with this desire to be in control. May we submit that to you. May we learn that you are in control of life. You give us life and breath, and in you we have our being. May we learn that lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.